The Cap and Jay Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000. Don't forget Greeny at 10, Carmen Yerk at noon, Waddle and Sylvie at 2, Bleck and Abdallah at 6 o'clock. So Justin was a full participant in practice yesterday, putting him on track to start. Would you start Fields? You, as a GM, not as a fan, because as Meatball, I would. As a GM, I would not, unless he's 100% fully cleared. By the way, correction on the scoring, my fault. We have the Pac-12 title game tonight.
Correct.
So no Bleck and Abdallah.
USC Utah will be on our air. No Bleck and Abdallah.
So enjoy the night off, boys. 312-332-3776. Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears, is in for Hoodie. He's off doing a game. Let's go to the phones. Thomas on the south side. Thomas, good morning.
Good morning. Morning, Cap. How's it going?
It's good, Sparky. What's up with you?
I would say I'm with you that Justin needs to be 100% in order to play, but man, would it be sweet to beat the guy that came into our building and told us he effing owns us.
Oh, man. Can you imagine, like, Dominique Robinson comes around the edge and sacks him and Aaron's laying down there? Owing that.
Yeah, imagine if this is the week the pass rush actually comes alive. Wouldn't that be something?
That'd be incredible. That would be incredible. Tom, have a great weekend, man. Appreciate you. Jeffrey is in Wadsworth. Hey, Jeffrey.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. First off, happy holidays to you.
You too, man.
Well, my theory is I don't mind them starting as long as they use their head and keep some protection in to, you know, to sort of listen. The Green Bay defense ain't that great anyway. So if you could keep a tight end in just for extra protection, keep the running back in for extra protection, just give them the opportunity to throw the ball, I'm all for it.
All right, have a great day. You don't mind him playing as long as they can protect him. I don't know if they can protect him.
I mean,
but if he's cleared, you play.
And the thing, I wanted to go back to Tom's point, like if he's 100%, no one's 100% at this point of the season. And I think that's what we need to take into consideration. How much pain can he play through? We know he has a very high threshold, probably higher than most human beings for being able to play through injury, but it may not be fully healed. That's the thing. Like, it could be healed enough to where it's not going to be every time he hands the ball off, he's feeling the tug of it, or when he's in his throwing motion. Because he said last week that it was every time he was throwing the ball, he's feeling it in his other shoulder. Clearly, he must not be that bad, or at least where he was, if he's a full participant in practice and he has his full range of motion. But to say that he's going to be at full health, I don't think that they're there. I don't think that anybody is. I think it's the tolerance of an injury, because he's not just going to go off the injury report today. I mean, unless you see dash dash, which means there's no injury next to his name and he's a full participant, the shoulder's still probably going to be something that pops up. I mean, they have the bye next week, but you know, if they didn't have the bye, it could very well be on it next week, and it's just like something that they're monitoring, but they still have to report the injury.
I asked a baseball player. It was like, August, how you feel? Are you 100%? He goes, by May, I'm not 100%, and I won't be until, like, January. So there's a difference, though, not being 100% because of the rigors of the season and not being 100% because you're dealing with an acute injury.
Yeah, and I don't think that he will be – it's not a matter of the injury's all of a sudden gone. I think he'll still be dealing with some effects of it, but it might not be enough to keep him from playing. I mean, very clearly it wasn't enough to keep him from practicing in full, which is a good sign.
Correct. I'm going to stay consistent here. I know everyone thinks I flip. I said that I would hand him two plane tickets and go to Mexico, have a good time. I'll see you in the spring.
You wanted him to shut him down for the rest of the year.
If he's not 100%. I don't mean 90. 100%.
You want to see the shoulder completely healed. Every scan reveals that the ligaments are reattached,
yes,
and it is not an issue.
Yes.
I just think that it's probably not possible for that in terms of the timetable. When he says partially torn ligaments, we don't know the degree of the separation, but I think he's going to be dealing with something. I wouldn't be surprised if he's full and he's not on the injury report. He's still probably getting some shot or some something in that area. He said he would if he was going to play against the Jets. So we don't know. That's like the thing we all have to consider here, too. He has not had it shot up yet to that point.
Okay, so then my scenario where I would play him if and only if my doctors said he's fine. He's 100%. He's good to go. I don't mean 100% like his body is not feeling the wear of the season. That shoulder is at no risk. He's good to go. You can play him. Okay. If they said very little risk, he's 94%.
You still would sit him at that point.
And I know Waddle's going to go, he's a football player. He needs the reps. I get all that, Tommy. I do. If he's not 100% in his shoulder, 100%, you're out. We're 3-9. You're my future.
Mm-hmm.
Not playing you.
And I get that logic. I was not expecting
at 100,
all.
Go ahead.
And he very well may be at that. I was so surprised yesterday, considering what the team had been saying, that they were in the same boat this week with him that they were last week. And maybe that's some gamesmanship. Maybe that's trying to keep an injury of a player close to the vest. I don't know. But then to see him go out there and be full, very clearly something changed from Wednesday to Thursday and showing you he is actually getting better on a day-to-day basis.
Or if the injury was not as serious as we all thought it was.
And again, we don't know the degree of the separation, so that very well could be the case that it's healing faster than they expected, and maybe I don't know what his treatment is on that. We don't know. I mean, he said that, you know, he's been rehabbing it, and he's, you know, obviously meeting with trainers and probably spending more time in the training room now than he was when he wasn't injured. But if he is fully healthy, I mean, it's a very clear line here. Either you're medically cleared to play or you're not. And they're going to look at that, the doctors and the trainers and everybody else who's evaluating him, and they have to take into consideration the risk of re-injury, what the degree of the injury is right now, and what potentially could make it worse, and how the pain management thing factors into that, because pain management, it's a tolerance scale, and every player is different.
But there's a difference being medically cleared and doing the smart thing and playing when you're 3-9.
They're factoring in all of that, but I think that the doctors at least have there's no real gray area, I think, with medicine, at least in terms of the trainers and the sports medicine people that they have on staff. It's either yes or no, and then the player, Eberflus talked about the three-pronged system or whatever it was called, and that that's where it starts, the medical people, and then the player gets to say, can I go, can I not go? Kind of like what we saw with Tevin Jenkins a few weeks ago, where he was medically cleared to play, but he felt that he wasn't healthy enough to play a full game, which is why he was the emergency backup. It's a weird situation. I've never heard of it before outside of this instance, but that falls on the player, and then the coaches have the wherewithal to either say yes or no because of using what they know in practice. And we talked with Andrew Janoco about this yesterday, the Bears quarterbacks coach. How do you weigh all that stuff in? And he said that they have a policy in the quarterback room, 100% honesty. And I'm sure other buildings do this too, but that comes down to injuries as well. You got to be able to have candid conversations about, can you really go? Can you really handle this load? Can you really do what you're asked? Like, we understand you're a competitor. That's fine. But you've got to think about this in the long-term thing. He's 23 years old. He's being asked right now to think about his future and to think about what happens beyond
Correct.
The season. And that I'm sure he's probably had some come-to-Jesus conversations with himself about, is it really worth it? Is it really worth pushing it? Because last week when they were playing the Jets, I asked him, I was like, did you realistically think you had a shot to go? And he said, yes. Like, it just was a matter of the warm-up, and then there were tests that they had to do when he went to the trainer's room, and they said no. So they did the right thing there.
Yeah.
And now it's like, is it strictly a pain management thing, or is there some risk of re-injury? If there's not a risk of re-injury, they're going to clear him to play.
Yeah, I asked Coach Wants that yesterday. He walks into your office. He said, Coach, this is BS. I can go. I'm playing. He said, if the doctors say to me, he's 97%. It's a little bit there, but he can get out there. He said, love you. Love your competitiveness. You can be mad at me. You're out. He said, 100%.
You can't say no.
You're a football player. You can't say no to a guy you're not playing because you don't want to win a football game.
Haven't this version of the Bears been kind of transparent with us, too, though, that they're like, yeah, if a player tells us they can go, we're going to leave it up to the player. The medical staff, as long as they say, you know, there's no risk of re-injury or risk,
there's a big difference between Larry Borum and Justin Fields.
Well, of course there is.
You're bringing up the Jalen Johnson thing, Shay, right?
Yeah, and also a little bit of the Tevin Jenkins.
Where
I can play, I can't start.
And I think the coaches have put the onus on the players in what you're talking about, the transparency and how this has been presented publicly in our press conference settings, that they are giving the players really autonomy over their bodies to be like, I can or I cannot. And there might be something in there, too, about proving toughness, because there's, you know, what can you play through? We're putting it on you. Like, if the doctor says you're cleared, like, what pain management level, like, what pain tolerance level can you play through? And I feel like when we were talking with Jalen about his oblique injury, what was that? Before the Detroit game, when he got cleared and he played.
Correct.
That was when he had the two penalties on the touchdown drive.
Well, then he got beat for the 44-yard crosser by the kid from Bryant College.
And he talked about, like, you know, the coaches giving him that flexibility where you are able to do that. And I think some players want to, if the coaches are telling you that it's on you, and then they'll have the final say. But if you're cleared and it's on you, I think the coaches want to see the players play through that.
But Jalen Johnson on Monday was ticked when people were like, he was horrible. He got beat on that.
He's also like, yeah, my oblique is on fire, and I'm playing through injury.
From play one. Like, he pushed back.
He went out in the game. Like, right. There were moments where he was going to the sideline, but he still played through it because he was given that freedom to do it. Because I think that there might be something because everybody here is on an audition. Let's not kid ourselves. This is a 3-9 football team.
A lot of guys won't be back.
Exactly. So you've got to play through things in order to kind of prove yourself in at whatever level, whether you're here, a starting cornerback or
in another team looking, going, well, that's a tough guy.
Absolutely. That's the football way.
All right. We'll get back to your calls. Phone lines are hopping. 312-332-3776. How important is it for the Bears to beat this Packers team? They're not very good, the Packers, nor are we. With Fields on track to play if he goes full participant today at practice, should the Bears be starting him this weekend? We want you to act like an executive or a coach and think, would I truly put my guy out there? We'll get back to your calls next.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
Let's go, go, go!
Sox baseball. Kick off your holiday season by giving the gift of White Sox baseball with a holiday pack. They start at $49. Get 6 ticket vouchers redeemable for more than 60 games during the 2023 season. Visit whitesox.com/holidaypacks for more information. Right now, 10th caller gets one of those holiday packs. Is that what we're giving away?
We are giving away one of those holiday packs.
There we go.
Caller 10 right now.
Caller 10 right now. Sidebar, may I approach, brought to you by Ankin Law, 3126 million for Howard Ankin. Sign my ball. So last night, my wife had a tradition of going to the old St. Pat's Cathedral holiday Christmas concert. She'd take her late mom and two friends of hers. They'd go to dinner at Greek Islands. They'd go to the concert, the whole deal. They shopped during the day. Well, her mom died in 2015 of cancer. She's continued the tradition now with these two women. One of them couldn't go last night, so she took our daughter-in-law, Jenny, and her sister, Veronica. They go to the concert. Waddle left our appearance to go to the concert with his wife and his two daughters. And one of the musicians fell off the stage as just they were about to start. His chair, the legs were too close to the stage, the edge. Boom, over he goes. Slams his head on the marble.
Yikes.
Injures his knee, and he's down and hurt. And my wife doesn't see this happen because she was looking at one of the singers as they were beginning. And our daughter-in-law, who's due in April, is a doctor. She gets up
and is running down the aisle to the front. And my wife's like, what in the? They had to get an ambulance and get the guy out of there. And then they had to reorganize the orchestra or the music. I wasn't there. The musicians, Tommy could tell me. And Jenny's trying to treat him up there. She said, we got to get an ambulance. He head injury. The whole deal. Yeah. Crazy last night.
So the concert went on.
Yes. It was a little delayed, but the concert did go on. They reorganized. Like, I think one of the soloists went first so they could reorganize later. Yes.
So music also has a next man up mentality.
Correct.
Didn't know that.
Move the drum.
I hope the guy's okay. That sounds awful.
Awful. Well, I'm like, my wife's like, guess who the doctor was that ran up there? I'm like, Jenny? Yes. So, Jen, I love you. You're awesome.
What a small world, though, that Waddle's there.
And my daughter loves the doctor treating the guy that fell off the stage. Insane. Johnny and Dalton won the White Sox Holiday Pack. We'll get back to your calls on Justin Fields throughout the next hour. Let's get one in. Now, Tom is in Oak Lawn. Tom, good morning, Sparky.
Morning, Cap. Morning, Courtney. So, the meatball inside of me wants the Packers to lose every single game every year.
Agreed.
Go 0-17. But
agreed.
In this case, too, with Justin Fields, the injury just happened literally like a week or so ago. I wouldn't play him even if he was 100% to go this week, especially with the bye. Now, if he's 100% to go after the bye and such with the remaining four games, I would still want him to play because you could still get experience. He still needs experience going through progressions. And I would love for the offense to start doing more three-step drops for him, do more quick slants, quick outs, wide receiver screens and such like that, just so then he can get into a rhythm and know how it is to get into a rhythm. And I know you said that he was a pocket passer at Ohio State and he wasn't known as being a running quarterback. But that's college, and this is the NFL, and everything's different. You know, there have been plenty of college quarterbacks that were pocket passers and good pocket passers in college, and they come to the NFL, and they can't transition. And I want him to be able to transition to eventually being that quarter, that dual-threat quarterback that, yes, can run and make the splash plays with his legs, but is not reliant on having to run and make the splash plays with his legs.
Appreciate your call, Tom. Have a great weekend. If he's 100%, 100%, he plays. You don't sit him.
No.
He plays.
And the team would not take any sort of approach that is contrary to that.
Agreed.
That's just not, it's not football.
That's not the mentality. I get it. But if he's not 100, I'm with him. 312-332-3776. Mike, Chuck, Hallis, Maureen, Big C, all of you. You're in 2 minutes. Would you start Justin Fields Sunday? Your thoughts next.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Because it's Friday.
It's time for the Friday Folder.
And you ain't got shit to do.
On the Cap and J-Hood Show.
Friday Folder. Hoodie likes to talk, man. I love the dude. He's family to me. But there are times he hijacks the show, Shay. You know that's true. And we can't get all of our stuff in because of Hoodie. So we created the Friday Folder. Shay, take it away, kid.
We got to start with the Washington Commanders, who made another misstep. They unveiled their Sean Taylor Memorial, and everybody hated it. Instead of building like a statue or
it was horrific.
Some nice memorial for Sean Taylor, they put what is effectively a Dick's Sporting Goods Washington Commanders uniform up in a mannequin and put the number 21 and the name Taylor on it and said, there you go.
Yeah, it was bad. It was creepy.
Wouldn't you think that if you're going to honor Sean Taylor, who might be one of the greatest players in your franchise's history, that you would have some sort of likeness to Sean Taylor, not a wire arm mannequin? And this is not the first time they have botched honoring him. Remember last year? They announced it 3 days ahead of time, spray paint his number on
the field. And it wasn't like Jackson Mahomes like standing on it.
And it was also when they were honoring, I don't know if it was like their top 50 players in franchise history. It wasn't a standalone moment. The family was confused by it. That all came out after the fact. They had a chance to do something right this time.
And they screwed it up again.
It was like a moment from Curb Your Enthusiasm when that video of the unveiling comes out and everybody's cheering and excited and that's what's behind the curtain.
Everyone's like, oh my God.
Like they couldn't have. I think they're purposely doing this. I really think they are calculated in every misstep that they make. And usually I'm very pro if you have a franchise, like the Cleveland Browns, for example. You can't be a Browns fan and turn a blind eye to what's going on with the Deshaun Watson stuff and everything else, him coming back this week, playing the Texans, what have you. I feel like I got to tell Washington fans, just focus on what's on the field because abject failure, my favorite phrase, that is what your franchise is off of the field and everything around it, including this.
Yeah, completely. I remember you look at teams make missteps, and I love the Bears. You sign Andy Dalton and you tweet out QB1. I was told Pace and Nagy got a call from media relations. This is not from us. Some social media intern put this QB1 thing out there. They were like, what? They didn't want that. But these missteps cannot happen. Well, when a deceased player, worse.
And the thing was, there was no historical accuracy. Like, he wore Reebok back in the day, and he wore soccer cleats. They got that right. The top part of the jersey, or the jersey itself, was a Nike jersey, and that wasn't introduced, I think, until 2012
right.
in the NFL. Like, the least you could do was what Chase Allen did last year and tape up the face mask the way that Sean Taylor did on more than multiple occasions.
Correct.
It's just awful, but I don't expect anything less. They're a bunch of losers. Bad. Like, we know this about Washington. This is not surprising.
Courtney, you brought up last year they announced his number retirement a day before the ceremony.
They let the family know 3 days before.
The family had 3 days lead time. The fans had a day. They also announced it the week that the emails got leaked. Every time something happens that puts Dan Snyder in the spotlight, he uses Sean Taylor to get out of it.
Yeah, I've heard that Rivera's trying to coach his team. He's also been charged with fixing the organization top to bottom. I think he hired his daughter to kind of be one of his eyes and ears there.
I think she's on their social media team.
And they said he's trying, he plugs one hole, there's another.
He may be coach of the year for what he's doing. And this is a team that's 7-5, I believe.
And he just beat cancer in the last 18 months.
Yeah, I mean, think about their stretch the next couple weeks. They have the Giants back-to-back. They could overtake them for third in the division.
The Giants 2 weeks in a row.
They have a bye sandwiched in. They also have the week 14. But isn't that crazy? Like, the same opponent, divisional opponent, separated by a bye week, and they could be in third place in the NFC East and in their way into the playoffs. I think you have to put him in the conversation as the front-runner.
No question about it.
Considering everything else that's going on around this joke of a franchise.
It's insane. Go ahead, Shay.
I've been looking for a place to slot this story in all week, so it ended up in the Friday folder. A Florida woman is suing the parent company of Velveeta's microwavable shells and cheese cups after claiming it takes longer to prepare the meal than the 3.5 minutes the box label says. Amanda Ramirez of Hialeah is listed as the plaintiff in the $5 million class action lawsuit that was filed against Kraft Heinz Foods Company. The suit alleges the statement of ready in 3.5 minutes is false and misleading because the product takes longer than 3.5 minutes to prepare for consumption.
I don't know what to think about this.
I don't either.
Wait, so she's saying because of you have to stir in, I don't know, how does this work? Like, is this like Instant Mac?
Goes on to quote the 4 steps to prepare the meal that are printed on the box. Just the length of time to complete one of several steps is 3.5 minutes, referring to the time it takes to microwave the product after having mixed in other ingredients listed in the previous steps.
So she's trying to get them for false advertising. Yep. Is this woman a lawyer? I'm gonna go ahead and say no.
I think she's not.
I don't even know how to feel.
I love that it's a Florida woman, because usually when you hear a Florida man, a Florida woman, like,
it's something really effed
just
up.
Stupid.
Yeah. Terrible. Shay.
This was also supposed to be in works weekends. A man stole a working surveillance camera, and he got caught from video. He was in Tennessee. So he was arrested after allegedly stealing a surveillance camera. The camera was working and streaming live at the time of it being stolen. He didn't know this. So he recorded himself taking it, putting it in his backpack, telling his girlfriend that he stole it, and then selling it to another man.
You wouldn't make sure it was off first?
And he shows his, where his location, the whole thing.
Gave it away.
Moron.
A poor criminal.
Moron. Shay.
Have you seen this points bet commercial with Drew Brees thing, Cap?
Okay, so I haven't seen it, but Courtney did reach out to her friend who covers the Saints, who reached out to Drew. Now Brees says... here's Pro Football Talk. Brees now says he was not struck by lightning, as Courtney just said. If it was all staged as part of a misguided marketing ploy by PointsBet, that's not going to go well.
I believe it was a viral stunt, right? If you look at the video, it looks very fake. Off top.
Oh, entirely. Like the camera dropping. Like, I don't think the camera would drop if Drew Brees got struck by lightning, because it would be on a tripod.
Why is he down in Venezuela to film this?
It was some planned stunt. He tweeted earlier in the week he was doing a commercial from a top secret location, and then this video comes out only from like Spanish sources, and it's all over Twitter, and then it gets picked up domestically this morning, and immediately everybody's concerned, obviously for his safety. The video shows him getting struck by lightning.
You have meetings. I've been in those meetings. Okay, here's the promo idea that we want to do. What do you think of this? Like, who signs off on that?
Did he? He would have had to if he stood there and got struck by lightning, which is not funny. Like, who's looking at it? It's a shock value. It's not like a funny thing. Drew Brees got struck by lightning. We're all laughing.
Correct.
My question is, if this is a stunt, who sees this on Twitter and goes, "That's where I'm going to gamble"?
I mean, you're talking about points, but
right?
Yeah, like we are talking about him.
We are.
Marketing.
Talks about him all the time.
I do. All right, we got to take a time out. We come back. We have the Cap and Jay Hood, Chicago Cut Steakhouse Cut of the Day, and a little bit more with Tracy Butler, the weekend weather. What's it going to be like if you're going to that Bears game? Be right back.